I really love ship stories, so this is a ship story, right?
Okay, it's another true story. And this is a true story about a pair of sister ships that were tankers, that were oil tankers, that were made for World War II. And these two ships were caught in a storm. They happened to be in the same storm off of Cape Cod. And both ships actually broke in half. The waves were so big that both of these big oil tankers broke in half. And the bow half of one of them sank right away, and the stern half remained floating. And the crew was spotted by an airplane flying overhead that was out looking for them. And a small boat from a Coast Guard station was sent out to find them. And the waves were so rough when this boat went out that the waves washed the compass off the boat. So the captain of the boat was going out looking for this broken up half a boat with no compass. And he actually found that broken up half a boat, and it was up on a sandbar, and the waves were crashing against the boat.
The compass was on the sandbar?
The bow sank with the captain and a few other people.
Oh.
The stern was still floating with 23 or 24 people on it, and it floated up with the help of the crew onto a sandbar, and then the Coast Guard boat came up to this big hulking metal ship in a little Coast Guard boat and rescued, I believe it was 23 people off of this half a boat.
So just to remind us too, with the ocean, sandbars aren't always right near the coast. You can come up on a sandbar in the middle of the ocean sometimes?
Sometimes.
What are sandbars? Just little islandy type things, right? Just sand.
Okay, Long Island is basically a sandbar.
Gotcha.
Okay, so they come in different sizes in different places.
Probably Block Island, too. Yeah.
Probably. Anyway, there was a sandbar, and the back half of the boat went up on the sandbar, and that's a dangerous place for a boat because the waves come and crash against the boat against land. Boats are supposed to be in water, not up against land. And so sailboats and old would crash upon the rocks because they're made to be in water, not up against rocks.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's a big problem. Anyway, so here was this boat against land with waves crashing on it, and the Coast Guard boat came up, and if you can imagine a wave going and rising up along the side of a boat and then falling down from the side of the boat and then rising up the side of the boat and then falling down again. And people on the boat climbing down a little ladder, and when the wave lifts the Coast Guard boat up close to the ladder, they have to jump from the ladder they're on out over the ocean and land on the Coast Guard boat before it falls back down with the wave.
Oh my gosh, talk about a leap of faith.
well, yes, but if you don't have a choice, that's what you do, and it's a very good movie about this boat. It's something like Finest Hours. It's a Coast Guard rescue boat story. Hmm. True film.
Hmm. Were you also someone who respected the film? What's the one about Gloucester? The Perfect Storm? Did you see that movie?
I did not see that movie. I don't know.
Oh, okay. That's the one about the fishermen, and they go out. And another huge storm. But it sounds like with the Pendleton, the crux of that story is really the motor lifeboat by the Coast Guard that came and did a super heroic move. Why was that move so super heroic? Because the ship could have come crashing down on the motorboat at any point?
Well, we talked about waves crashing a boat against rocks.
Hmm.
Well, the waves could crash the lifeguard, the Coast Guard boat, against the steel hull of the tanker. The steel hull of the tanker is just as hard as a rock. And so if a wave crashes the Coast Guard boat against the other boat, the Coast Guard boat is going to come out on the low end. It's going to get wrecked.
There's so many amazing stories with ships and the sea. I want to talk about those things. But before we move on, what would you say is the physics of either of those stories? Either the story of Captain Pearson with the 767 running out of fuel, or the Pendleton and the heroic crew that saved the people who survived the Pendleton.
And also Sully landing in the Hudson.
And Sully with that, you know, mischievous flock of geese that interfered with humans, I guess.
In all of those cases, the people that were running the craft, whether they were aircraft or watercraft, understood the physics of the medium, whether it's air, whether it's water, whether it's the interface of air and water, and they knew enough about that physics that they were be able to control what they had control of, airplane or boat, in order to come to a safe resolution of a very dangerous situation.
Hmm. So, yeah. I mean, can you give us one specific physics concept that one of them knew or was probably had churning in their mind?
Well, airplanes is probably the easier, and that is that the airplanes became gliders. And gliders are falling to the earth. Mm-hmm. And if you get the angle of the fall right, you get the most distance that you can, and you can control the airplane best if you understand the right glide angle. And that's all physics.
So in terms of ships and the sea and navigating the Solaris in the Erie Canal and down the Hudson, do you think about specific physics concepts a lot when you are in the captain pilot position?
Oh, of course. any boat has a lot of momentum. And so you fight that with the motor. And the wind also fights that, and the tidal current also fights that. And we've had a lot of rain lately, and so that there's a lot of current from rain. And all of these are physical forces affecting the boat. So as captain, you're trying to control the boat to do what you want it to do and be able to work against the forces that are competing.
So have you ever had a storm-type situation where you had to do a super heroic move or a somewhat heroic move like one of these guys?
The simple answer is no. There are times when you avoid things like that, and if you avoid them successfully, then they're not super heroic.
Well, I think many people thought that you and Harriet, they definitely thought you were super heroic this past weekend at the Waterford. It's the Boat Fest, right? That's the official Canal Fest, yeah. And when can people, what's the plan for the Solaris? It's beautiful, it's quiet, it's graceful. So what's the plan for Troy and Solaris, or how people can engage with the Solaris?
I don't know yet when Solaris will be back in the Troy area, but it is available at the Kingston area on the Rondout Creek at the Hudson River Maritime Museum down there. And it will be taking people rides. There are lighthouses right there at Kingston. There are lighthouses north and south along the Hudson. And the Rondout Creek has a lot of history. There were cement plants and brick plants and shipbuilding and lumber and coal from Pennsylvania came on the Delaware and Hudson Canal. So it was a very historic area. And you can see that from the from Solaris as you ride up and down the Rondout Creek there.
So can you tell us the hours and days when people can do this, or is there a place on the internet where people can go to find out Solaris schedules?
I can't say, but I believe it will be posted at the Hudson River Maritime Museum website.
Very cool. That's cool that it's right by a museum because it's a historic moment, right?
Well, it is pretty cool that this is the first ever U.S. Coast Guard certified 100% solar electric boat.
It's amazing. We were all a part of history last weekend.
Well, it was a lot of work to get this to happen, and it came together.
Well, I really appreciate you allowing me to play the harp on the boat, and I was dedicating my harp playing to my mother, who is a huge fan of this radio show, Ellen, and also a huge fan of your solar boats. So thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.